Listening Dog Media. Ruckit with Kieran Bracken and Nick Easter. The rugby podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Welcome to Ruckit with me, Kieran Bracken and Nick Easter. And today we're joined with All Blacks captain Sam Kane.
Ruckit with Kieran Bracken and Nick Easter.
I believe we have Sam Kane on the line, current captain of the New Zealand team. Fantastic news for you, Sam. How are you?
G'day, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Good. It's myself and Nick Easter here. So congratulations on the captaincy. I just want to check how things in New Zealand with lockdown, how you're coping, how you're keeping fit.
Oh, mate, we've been pretty fortunate here. We're 2 weeks out. We're 2 weeks back at training. This will be our third week tomorrow back at training. So things are pretty close to back to normal here. We're expecting them to announce
How have you been conducting the training? Are you still in small groups? Have you been sort of distancing and being wary? Have you been sort of full throttle because you've got it under control over there?
There's a couple of small tweaks at the start, but mainly just around taking our temperature at the start of the day. And I suppose that our facility's been limited to just the bare essential people that we need. We don't really have people coming and going. We just got a log in, log out system. But in terms of training, it's just been as normal, and probably just a little bit more of a focus on hygiene and wiping things down and sanitising. But it's been good to get back into it.
Could you just share with us that moment that you got the phone call about the captaincy and what that felt like, and what it means to you to be captain of the All Blacks?
I suppose because it got announced during lockdown, a lot of people assumed I only found out not long beforehand. But it was actually a face-to-face. Ian Foster came around to my place back in February, early February. And I didn't have any idea, actually. We were just chatting rugby. He'd newly been announced the All Blacks coach, so I just assumed he was getting around a few of his sort of more senior All Black players. Catch up, and then he sort of sprung the question just towards the end of the conversation. Took me back, obviously, but it didn't take me long to know that I wanted to say yes and was up for the role. So the feeling is just, hugely humbled and just feel very privileged.
Never even entered your thoughts when he was around the house that he was going to ask you?
Well, the fact that I knew that he'd gone and seen a couple of the other boys, I think he'd been down to Wellington, caught up with might have been Artie, and up to Auckland, he'd caught up with Bowden Barrett. So I just thought he was sort of getting around, and he might wait a wee bit longer.
So. No, it's a tremendous honour, obviously, and comes with its pressures. But I'm sure you'll be able to cope with it. In regards to captaincy, you've had two great captains you played under for the All Blacks in Richie McCaw and Kieran Reid. You know, they're keeping in the back row family, which I'm a fan of myself. given the ruck is the most contentious issue and it's the one you've got to sort of try and influence the referee or your players more than anything else in the game, I think it's only right to have a member of the back five in there, but especially the back row. But, you would have learned a lot off Richie and Kieran, and you'll have your own style of captaincy. Are you able to sort of divulge into sort of what your style would be like in maybe similarities or differences with the previous two?
Yeah, sure. I mean, pretty good apprenticeship, eh? Been under those two guys.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I like consider myself very fortunate to have learnt so much off two pretty special players and leaders. I think leadership's one of those things that you're not born with it, but you sort of just learn and evolve along the way. And I've got no doubt that being exposed and having roughly 8 years, four with each, has helped mold my leadership. And I'd like to think I'm a leader who's pretty inclusive. I like to hear other people's thoughts and ideas before, and I sort of use that to help form my own to some extent as well. I'd like to think, I'd never ask the players to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. Yeah. Like, I'll be putting my body on the line and doing everything I can to make sure we win. But also just try and be a good, approachable bloke too. You know, someone that people want to follow, someone who's respected. And, you know, you earn that on and off the field.
Well, there's quite a few players in the team who you can help and rely on, lots of senior players within there. But, you know, we're all looking forward, or I was looking forward, I suppose, the match I was looking forward to most this year would be New Zealand coming over to play against England, a revenge match from the World Cup semi-final. I don't really want to mention it because I know New Zealanders take it personally, the semi-final. But, you know, just going back to that semi-final, it was just one of those games. You had a fantastic game against, I think it was Ireland the week before, and England were stuttering through the tournament. And, you know, just what was your feelings in that match? It looked like everything just went right for England and, you know, couldn't quite click for New Zealand.
Yeah, you summed it up quite well. And I think just within the space of those 3 weeks, you know, those three playoff games from the quarters all the way through to the finals, if you look at all of those games, it just shows goes to show, I think, how much of a challenge a World Cup is and how difficult it is to be up week after week, and the mental and physical ability, mainly mental, I'd say, to get to that state that you need to every week. I mean, you know, South Africa, without doubt, saved their best game for the final.
And if
we go back even further, like England played their best game against us, and unfortunately we played our best game the week before that. So, you know, that it just highlights how difficult that is. In saying that, we knew that going into a World Cup, but yeah, highlights it again, I suppose.
Have you had, I suppose you probably haven't had any sort of debrief or anything on the World Cup, and you'll probably just want to move on. And, you know, I'm a big fan, like most of you know, the rugby lovers in the world, of New Zealand rugby and how you guys think about the game and like to be a couple of steps ahead. Just interestingly, Warren Gatland at the Chiefs, you know, has had a long time, you know, obviously he played New Zealand coached the Chiefs beforehand and interim, but, you know, he's coached Ireland, Wales, Wasps up in the Northern Hemisphere. He's been a tremendously successful coach over here. Have you recognised any sort of big influences that he might have brought back from Northern Hemisphere rugby? I mean, rugby's rugby, really, but, you know, there are subtle differences and changes in philosophy and approach, aren't there, between the Northern and Southern Hemisphere? You know, since he's come back to the Chiefs, has he managed to sort of implement anything that's slightly different in what you've done before and previously with New Zealand and the Chiefs?
Yeah, look, we're obviously really excited that a man of his calibre was coming to coach us. And, you know, for some of us who have played a wee bit longer, sort of, I've had the attitude of going in with like a really open mind and wanting to learn off him. And, he's been really impressive, actually. He's come in, he's not someone with any ego whatsoever. Mm. But at the same time, you sort of get, you know, he's the boss. And he can get you on edge, which is good. You know, you want that from a head coach. But what I've enjoyed is that he's sort of sat back a little bit, watched how we've been going about things, because the makeup of our coaching group is similar to the last two or three years. And then the further on we've got, he sort of just comes in and says what he thinks, what can work, and then we try it out. So he hasn't sort of come in and just tried to rewrite the script straight away. He's come in and just made subtle tweaks here and there. And we've had a really open mind to that. And, you know, I think that's what's helped it work so far. I mean, we've only had about four or five games before this COVID-19, but it's only 2 weeks before we get back on the track. So really, honestly, really, really been enjoying them.
The big talk at the moment is trying to get, you know, a worldwide rugby calendar. I mean, you know, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, trying to collide and make it easier to play against each other. What's your thoughts then on trying to sort of, you know, get together and have a better calendar? Would that work for New Zealand?
Well, mate, I think it's the way forward. It's just, you know, it's sort of above my pay grade, but trying to work out how it works in. I mean, I think we all agree it would be awesome. I think what doesn't help is that each of the competitions, whether it's the Six Nations or the Rugby Championship, are sort of owned by different entities. Yeah. So, like, it's you know, if it was all under, say, World Rugby, things might be a little bit more flexible. But yeah, who knows? I mean, after a year like this, next year might be the year to change things up. And I think from a player's perspective, you know, I've been playing roughly the same competitions since my first year playing professional. So something a little bit different would be cool. And I reckon the fans would really get on board with that too. But, geez, what that looks like, I'm not sure. I think there's been a wee bit of chat down here about the days of old-fashioned tours, you know, like a month-long tour. You know, imagine if we went over and played England three times and maybe a couple of a game against a couple of the clubs, how cool that would be. And maybe a couple of years later, it goes the other way. So, yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny you say that. We've spoken at length, and we've Brax about bringing back the old tours. And, you know, so, you know, you get to know the personalities and, you know, the team that's travelling, and it also asks a lot more questions in terms of rugby, doesn't it? You know, if you were to play England or Ireland, a three-test series over here, as opposed to sort of dotted around, you know, the next game, you're going to know a little bit more about each other. The next game, you're going to know a little bit more about each other. And it just generates that hype and interest a bit more. And also would spread the game across the country in the UK and France and Ireland, where you guys obviously play at different stadiums. Speaking of new competitions, cannot wait for your guys' new competitions. I'm going to try and pronounce it. I apologise if I can't get it. Aotearoa.
Nice, mate. Yeah, that's nice.
And it was terrible. But, mate, I just can't wait for that to start and get going. Miss rugby so much, just like everyone else. But that's a different competition. And you've got, you know, everyone, all the superstars are playing amongst each other. It's sort of a bit of a throwback, isn't it, to back in the old provincial days when every sort of inch and quarter mattered. And, you know, you stoked up the rivalry and the tribalism within the fans. Obviously, the fans aren't going to be able to come into the stadiums as yet. But it'd be interesting to see not only what happens on the field, but also how much this can galvanise the supporters in New Zealand as well. Because, you know, I think Southern Hemisphere rugby, you'll accept, has been dwindling in terms of numbers turning up to games, you know, both in, you know, the domestic provincial competition and Super Rugby as well. And this might just be the trigger and the spark once audiences are allowed back in. To getting bums on seats again.
Yeah, mate, that's a fair comment. Look, I think during this lockdown period, and I know we've had it pretty good here in New Zealand, but it sort of showed the importance of you know, the nurses, doctors, you know, police force, etc., who have helped keep the country running. Yeah. And I think where sport has a part to play now is that we're getting back to some level of normalisation is bringing like people together like that, you know, giving them something to support and cheer about. And so I think you're right. Hopefully, the way things are going here, it could be, you know, a month, 6 weeks, maybe the back end games of this competition we'll be able to get some crowds in. And so that'd be pretty exciting. But the competition itself, it's going to be tough, that's for sure. but we're looking forward to it. It seems like you said, we've been missing rugby, and it's like all the boys have come back in good nick from lockdown. It's been awesome the last 2 weeks to have a bit of banter with the lads and throw the ball around again and get ready for some contact.
So just last question from me anyway. I just you know, the one big thing about a great thing I loved playing against New Zealand was the haka. So how's that work now? Is it going to be a new haka? You're going to be leading it from the front. Smith at the back. I just remember some of the hakas over the years, how they've changed. And now you look like you've all got the right timing. But I suppose new captain, new haka, new change.
Look, that's one thing I haven't thought too much about. One thing also, there probably won't be a new haka.
Right.
You know, keep it traditional. But yeah, I think we'll see. We'll come together, and there's a couple of guys who can bounce some sound ideas off. You know, a little bit more about Māori culture and tradition and the Kiwi haka than myself, but. Yeah, it's no doubt. It's always an honour and privilege to do it.
Sam, for myself and Brax and Ruckett, we'd just like to thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk to us. Many, many congratulations on your appointment. And we look forward to seeing you on the pitch, mate, in a couple of weeks, and can't wait for the new tournament to start off. And then clearly, obviously, you in the black shirt as well, and leading them out whenever that may be. But... look, we really appreciate the time you've given us, and wish you all the best, mate.
Cheers. No, thanks mate.
Fellas. Cheers for having me on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Ruckett with Kieran Bracken and Nick Easter.
Thanks to Sam for joining us. Don't forget you can watch all our interviews on our new YouTube channel. Just search for Ruckett.